while New Yorkers pump water out of the subway system and low-lying structures. Some engineers and city planning experts are warning it's a sign of what could come to Boston unless the city prepares for the likelihood of larger storms. For a look at what could be done to better protect Boston against big storms like Sandy, we're joined this morning by Ellen Douglas. She's an associate professor and a hydrologist and engineer at UMass Boston. Ellen Douglas, good morning, and thanks for speaking to Morning Edition.
Well, I'm happy to speak with you.
Ellen, as you watch what's going on in New York and New Jersey this morning, how likely do you think it is that we could go through that same thing here if a storm hit us head on?
Well, we are certainly, as a coastal city, Boston is vulnerable to the impacts of high storm surge, and particularly if you look at how it might occur in the future with some level of sea level rise. We have pretty good buttressing along the coastline, but if you were down at the Long Wharf area this Monday, you would see that even that buttressing can be exceeded by high waves and high storm surge. So Boston is a vulnerable city.
So how much water could get over those buttresses, so to speak, and get into the downtown area, get into the financial district?
Well, it all depends, obviously, on how high the surge is and the wave action. For example, on Monday, the storm surge that came in at high tide, which was 2.7 feet, you saw some flooding in Long Wharf and Central Wharf, but not a whole lot. But if you were to get a higher storm surge, for example, the maximum storm surge that Sandy brought us was about 4.8 feet, and that would have caused some flooding along Atlantic Avenue in the financial district along South Boston and that area.
So what can Boston do to prepare for that?
Well, if you have property that's right along the waterfront, you could make sure that, number one, you have good emergency evacuation procedures in line, which most places do. You could, for existing buildings, you can do what's called floodproofing, which is actually enhance the building and make it more capable of, you know, dealing with a flooding issue, letting the water come in and go out. One of the strategies is to move the critical utilities up off of the first floor or out of the basement onto a floor that's less vulnerable. That's a really important thing. You know, in some cases in a coastal city like Boston where you have this exposure, you may have to designate the first floor to some sort of use where people can just get out of the way, you know, so have a restaurant or something where people don't need to live there and can get out of the way when a storm comes.
What do you say to those who say that, you know, planning for a worst-case scenario in Boston, putting in new infrastructure or altering buildings is not necessary, it's not practical for a storm that may never come? After all, even Sandy was called the superstorm of a lifetime, implying that, you know, maybe a storm like Sandy won't happen again.
Well, we all have to assess our willingness to deal with some level of risk in our lives, right? We all buy insurance, and we hope we never have to use it. And the same thing is true for a city looking at the impacts of future floods and of future storms. But the problem is that, you know, looking at climate change, which is, you know, we're observing that the climate is already changing. These types of events are predicted, and we're observing also that they are increasing in frequency and in intensity, so it's not like we can say that a Sandy storm will only happen once every 500 years or 1,000 years, because these type of things could become more regular in the future. And so that kind of a risk needs to be considered.
Ellen Douglas, thank you very much for speaking to Morning Edition today.
Happy to talk to you.